something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's Alan Frew, summer camp counselor.
We play part two of On the Darts.
And I had an up-close encounter with George W. Bush. I'll tell you all about it coming up right now on TNT.
71 baht!
71. 71. And they said it wouldn't last. Here we go. We're in our 70s.
We are. And I love how it somehow made it to the Addams Family Jam.
71. 71.
Do your kids have that song, a song like that in kindergarten, the girls?
Yeah. They I think they're about three songs, and
there's
they just keep repurposing them.
Right? There's Days of
the Week. Yeah, Days of the Week. Days of the Week.
But it all there's Tuesday.
There's Wednesday and there's Thursday. There's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like it all kinda works, but the lyrics are sorta crammed in. This is the latest one that Chug came home with this week.
What?
Reduce, reuse, recycle, 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 reduce, reuse, recycle. It's easy to do, cause your trash and my trash makes up way too much trash. Reduce, reuse, recycle, it's easy to do.
That's solid.
It's solid. They went on a field trip to the landfill.
Oh, wow. To the dump. Saw it. Yeah.
Have your kids done that?
No. They were going
for a dump and then a picnic. I actually think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because every time they pound a Horton's apple juice from now on, they'll be thinking about where the bottle goes.
Yeah, because you never think about that stuff when you're a kid at all.
And I tell you, maybe I've mentioned this, but I've gone to my landfill facility, and they are so happy and helpful and kind.
Yeah.
Like, let me grab a broom, bud. Sweep out the bed of your truck. Now's as good a time as any. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's your dump. Would it be safe to say they're all like that?
Everyone. Well, no. I've gone to some dumps where people aren't as friendly. But my dump, I was there last fall, and they said, oh, you'll have to come to the barbecue. I was like, the what now? God. They have an open house, and that's hundreds classic. Of people come, get a hot dog, and tour the recycling facilities, and see where the garbage goes.
See just how
it's a huge success.
How dump big is the dump there?
Oh, I don't know. Acres wise?
Yeah, massive.
She's probably 30 acres, bot.
It's like, looks like Woodstock, but just garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, for every person that was at Woodstock, there's a bag of garbage.
The only thing they want to drill down on is they
want to know your paint cans are empty, because they don't want you firing paint cans around if they're full of eggshell white.
Do you think that you guys are getting garbage from other counties, or is that just everybody goes there from that area?
I think it's just ours, and they want to know if it's commercial or residential. They want to know what it's in. Like, sometimes you have to sort your wood. Like, if you have wood, there's a different place that you take wood.
Yeah.
There's a different place that you take metal. There's obviously a different place that you take cardboard. But, like, a bunch of old junk that you're ready to part with, you can just fire it right into the dump, and they'll help you unload.
The people here are pretty good, actually. I don't want to give the bad dump in my neighborhood a bad dump and say it's a great dump.
Well,
it's a great dump.
The other thing is they help unload, which I don't think always happens.
Yeah.
But they're smiling and whistling and happy. It's great.
I remember I was throwing out a bunch of old drum hardware. And, like, of all places, I get a guy's eyeballing me, and he's watching me throw it all out. And he's like, you a drummer? I'm like, yeah, I'm just throwing out some stuff. He's like, you Jeremy Taggart? I'm like, yeah, man, just throwing out some old hardware. And as I was leaving, I saw him start to go through it. Like, he was going to take it. Classic.
You see, like, your symbols on eBay.
The recycling of the
covered in banana peels.
Hey, man, if it works, go for it.
Someone in the early going of Trailer Park Boys, because the internet and online, marketplace is kind of new, one of the cast members was selling the scripts on eBay before the shows had aired. That's an interesting little inside tidbit. And so what they had to start doing was watermarking the script with your name. So if you were issued a script,
it's your
name was burnt into every page. Yeah. So if it was sold, you're in big trouble.
That's right. Watermarked. You have to, you're going to get it. Like money throughout the whole page.
Did you have to keep, like, obviously album titles and song lyrics and stuff? You'd have to keep that on the down low, right?
Yeah, but more, I think more, I don't know about song titles and lyrics, but when the album was finished, you kind of had to keep it under wraps. But I was actually, I'd say I was in that generation where I saw what it's like before downloading.
Right.
When it just comes out and the only thing that you hear is the CD or the tape or whatever, that's the only way. And then all of a sudden in the late 90s, it was just like, I guess the beginnings of MP3s when the people started to understand
Napster.
It's easier at record companies to email a track instead of physically sending it and saving money and all that stuff. And that's just how it instantly, if a record was done and or if somebody, if it was at the point where they're sending it to the labels and press people to listen to it, that's when it would come out every single time. So months, sometimes a long time before a record was supposed to be released, but it's supposed to be in all the people's hands to get a feel for it, there would always be someone who's like, I don't give a shit about this. I hate this. I'll give it to somebody for nothing, or
wow,
just put it on their computer and then it would just be free for all to get.
So. Before that, though, like in the CD years, that must have been a really exciting day when your record came out.
You could control it, and now it's just, it seems like it goes out and it's everywhere instantly. And it's actually funny because, I mean, something like a YouTube, they can block certain things, like, easily. It's not an issue. It's easy for them to have their content, like the YouTube Red stuff. Like, you cannot see it unless you pay the subscription. So they have that stuff totally dialed down, but they just don't do it at all. They don't crack down on it, and it's killed everything content-wise that has labels and movies and stuff behind it, because it's just, they always use that thing, well, there's no way we can track it. If someone uploads it, then it's just going to be on, and it's impossible to not do that. Yet the content that they provide and have paid for themselves, you can't do that with. So
right,
it's totally they know that it can easily be fixed, but I guess when it comes down to it, they somehow, it falls under the freedom of speech law or something, why they can't just shut it down. I don't know, or whatever bullshit that they use to try and loophole it out. Yeah.
I'm confused about the leaking of the records and what have you. Like, whether Drake purposely leaks his record or whether somebody in the chain leaked it.
I'd say...
Like, is there a strategy for the artist to leak it?
I think modern days, yeah. I mean, it's completely controlled, and Drake's kind of, and Beyonce as well, they've kind of done that where they'll just release something or let it come out, and you have to, you can only, and there's no way of it getting copied or coming out because it's out already, you know?
Right.
And then the big album comes out, and that's what actually sells. Like him on the Drake on the CN Tower, all of a sudden that's an actual record that people knew about, and it sells differently. It's, you know, propped up as opposed to just some released thing that everybody memes. And that's interesting, because if you do that, if you just put it out there, it just becomes advertising and it's shared. If you look at it as promo, then you're not going to be complaining that it's getting downloaded, you know what I mean? Like that stupid fucking U2 album that everybody just had to have.
We have to talk about some concert announcements, because Alan Frew is coming to Halifax. He's rolling through.
Yep.
And it's July 2nd, so it's kind of a Canada Day. Like, oh, Canada Day was fun. What are we going to do tonight? Tickets are $40 or 3,000 PC points.
Yes, I heard that. PC
points. How many points do you have, bud?
President's Choice?
Yeah.
Like, just get... I don't even think I have a card.
What? You're missing out on a lifetime of opportunity and savings. Can you get
it
on Sobeys,
too? Or does it just work at Loblaws?
I don't know. I know that I don't have as many points as I should. Remember, but I know, I don't have air miles.
Remember old supermarkets like Loeb? Remember Loeb?
Yeah, Loeb, right.
My dad.
When I moved to Ontario, I thought Loeb and Loblaws was the same.
My dad and my grandma, let's go to Loeb's. Lads, I forgot it at Loeb's. Always throw an S on it.
Here's what we haven't talked about. Fru did an album of 80s covers called 80290.
Yeah.
Which I think it's probably 80290 is really what it is.
Have you heard any of it?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
You did? Oh, wow. Can we
preview
some tracks tonight on the show?
Thompson
today?
Twins, Hold Me Now.
Hold Me Now.
Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. John Waite's Missing You. And he covered Glass Tiger's Someday.
He does the Proclaimers walk that 500 miles, but it's all perfect for him. Doesn't change
anything
because of the accent.
He does.
When I go out.
He does. It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took my love away. And he does, Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Hey, nothing compares to... Nothing compares to you.
Nothing compares to you.
Oh, it's always nothing. You can't do nothing.
Compares to you.
Nothing.
You know, I admire it though. 80290, yeah. It's like he took every song from my iTunes collection. But I don't know. I'd want to see Alan Frew in concert. I just saw the other night that he Nelly Furtado showed up on stage with him and performed Someday.
Classic.
There you go. So the Frew is rolling through July 2nd. The other thing to discuss is Burton is coming to New Glasgow, Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Are you going?
But it's almost worth making a pilgrimage. You should come out.
When is it?
We should do a potty live from the Burton show.
Is it, when is it? In July, too?
It is Riverfront Jubilee in New Glasgow. He's headlining. I think it's Sunday, July 31st.
That might work.
Yeah.
Just drive out there.
Well, also, the Arkells are in town.
The Arkells are playing, too?
Yeah, the Arkells are in town that weekend. It's Burton, the Arkells, and the Glorious Sons headlining Riverfront Jubilee, or the Jube, as it's known to locals.
That's one night, or is it the weekend?
It's a whole weekend, and our bod...
Arkells are doing a one
Kirk
night.
Kirk DeGoss lives there.
Another.
We could probably crash at his place.
At Burton's?
At Kirk DeGost's.
Oh, yeah.
Those are his stomping grounds, Bot. He's Bot-tastic on Twitter. I mean, it's something to think about.
The Trues boys are from Antigonish.
They're from Antigonish. This is New Glasgow.
Oh, sorry. No, who's from New Glasgow? Someone else we know. From there.
Dave Gunning.
Yeah.
Mike Smith, who plays Bubbles.
That's right, Smith. That's where the Gerald Nyat story came from that we talked
about. Yeah, he's from Thorburn, which is like a suburb of New Glasgow. And I went to Camp Getty outside New Glasgow.
Yes.
Which was a church camp for people that wanted to neck.
That's right. Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
We love camp. It's almost time for a camp episode, actually, once summer.
It is. Right? Remember, what was the name of it?
Mine?
But Camp Itchilaggy?
Oh.
Is this a real camp or a fake camp?
Itchilaggy.
Like, one of yours was Camp Trustafunda.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real camp.
That was when you had to fly in private plane only.
Yeah. Camp Itchilaggy. That was a fun game. We've been on a roll with some fun games. People are obsessed with On the Darts.
On the Darts is a great... we should play On the Darts later, the American version. Or just
actors. People also said...
Every British actor ever in history.
Right.
no matter what age, from Keira Knightley to Peter Sellers. They're all
someone sent us a picture of Neve Campbell on the darts.
Yes.
And someone else suggested that we have to drill down on, like, okay, how many a day, what brand.
Well, we made a mistake. Peter Mansbridge, someone sent us a picture of him on the darts.
He was on the darts, yeah.
Yeah.
So although news darts is almost
and somebody
given.
Said Corey Hart was on the darts.
Too. No.
Yes. Yeah, everybody.
Photographic evidence.
There was only people saying, hey, no, this guy is on the darts.
Wow. Corey Hart on the darts. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Someone said Dutchie from TSN bummed a dart from them.
This
on
is
the 18th.
A great. It's actually a good story. Yeah, Dutchie, that's right.
And he's jacked. Dutchie bummed a dart at some celebrity charity golf thing. Oh, he's on the back nine.
After a few drinks.
He loses a Titleist 3 in the woods and sneaks a dart.
Oh my god, Dutchie. No,
Pass the Dutchie from the left-hand side, me up.
The Corey Hart thing was he was like talking to Terry David Mulligan in an interview, and it was an unlit one, and he was like talking the whole time with it unlit. Like, that's like a super I'm on the darts move.
Like behind his ear?
No, in his mouth.
No.
Yeah, like, you know, that talking, like thinking James Dean styles.
Like ready to light it the second it's over.
Yeah.
If it's near me, man.
Like, that's a heavy, that's darts. That's not like, why would you do that if you weren't going to crush it?
Everything like a, in my darts.
Such a tool move anyway.
Wow.
Just can't.
Everything in my
can't
darts.
Can't wait to crush the darts.
Give you. Last week, I was in Las Vegas, as you know. And I'm probably not supposed to talk about it, but the keynote speaker at the event I was hosting was George W. Bush.
Classic. How was
and
that?
And not only... It's not like I had no expectations. I had expectations that he would be hilarious, at, like, by accident, and good fodder.
No, for sure. Or like,
I don't know,
like,
what to do with these feelings, because he was great.
No.
He really surprised me. He was more insightful and funny and articulate. And, I mean, really, he was made to be a buffoon in combination – by his own actions, three things. One, his own actions. Two, he was president after Bill Clinton, which no one would want to be. And three, SNL really made him out to be a buffoon.
Well, yeah.
So maybe...
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, bud.
No, go ahead.
Well, maybe it's since he's been president, he's had time to kind of craft or rewrite his reactions or reasons that he made certain decisions. But... I'll just share a couple with you. One was, he was talking about the morning of September 11th, and everyone knows that image of him being in the Florida classroom with the first graders.
Yeah.
And somebody whispering in his ear, and the look on his face, like the almost cartoony, like, what now? He said, I knew one plane had hit a building, and I've studied aeronautics, and I thought it was an accident. This 6-year-old little girl is reading a story when my advisor whispers, second tower's been hit, America's under attack.
Yeah.
And he said, I realized two things in that moment. One is, I'm comforter in chief, as well as commander, and if I panic, that won't help anyone. And he said, the second thing is, my job as president became very clear to me in that moment, and it was my job to protect that little girl who was reading.
Yeah.
And as a dad and a human being, I was very touched by that. And he said, I remembered her face so many times in the weeks and months that followed and just kept thinking about her and that was my job. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very insightful. The second thing he said is when he went to Ground Zero, he said it was the only time I was in New York that people waved with all five fingers. Like, he was not popular in New York.
Yeah.
And he said, I went to Ground Zero and there were a bunch of firefighters there and they were tired and they were scared. And I said, you know, America supports you. And he's like, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So they started heckling him when he was on the air live at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And he said, I hear you and they'll hear from us. And that's what people needed to hear in that moment, was like, I get it. I'm on it.
Yeah.
And he went back to the White House that night and his wife, Laura, said, you know, you're a leader of the world. You can be a bit more diplomatic than that when you say things. And he said, well, they heard me in West Texas. Like, he's kind of folksy and, like, he said he would have concentrated more in university had he known he was going to run for president. And he said, my dad was really helpful because he just called me and told me he loved me and I was doing a good job. Like, surprisingly down to earth. The thing that he said that really resonated with me was, when you're president, you don't want to be surrounded by sycophants. You don't want people saying, you're so smart, absolutely, yes, sir. You want to hire people who know what you don't know. And he said Condoleezza Rice was one of those people. Mm-hmm. He said, I was the governor of Texas. I didn't know much about foreign policy. She knew a lot about it. So you need someone to say, respectfully, sir, this is what I think and here's why. But then once the president makes his decision, you want everybody to get on board and say, yes, sir, let's do that.
Yep.
Can't imagine. He was in the hot seat for some of the biggest, scariest, worst things in the last 20 years. So it was interesting to hear firsthand. Maybe because my expectations were so low, I was pleasantly surprised. But he was a charmer, that W.
I'd like to hear him talking just some Rangers, maybe some baseball and some barbecue.
Well, I'll leave you with this. Remember when the Clinton administration took all the letter W's off the keyboard in the White House when they left, which I thought was a great diss.
Yeah.
But he said he was at Camp David. This is the last thing I'll say about it. And he was there with Putin, and his dog Barney waddled out of the house, and Putin looked at the dog like, kind of made a joke about he dissed Barney. And Bush said, I realized in that moment I was representing the American people, not Barney, because it kind of got my back up, but I had to keep it together. Putin made some reference like he's not much of a dog or something.
Isn't it a Cocker Spaniel or something?
Yeah, I think so.
With the big
eyes. And then a year later, Bush was at Putin's place on the lawn, and Putin said, would you like to meet my dog? And Bush was like, all right, here we go. And out comes this like muscular, you know, bull, whatever.
Yeah,
lean those, and like, rich.
Russian mountain, a Caucasian mountain dog or something.
Yeah, like the size of David Spade. And Putin turns to George Bush and goes, see, bigger, faster, stronger than Barney.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you even say in that
going moment? On, still hanging on the Barney bit. Poor little
the Barney bit. We'll take a break here on TNT 71 and come back. You have some 71 jams pulled, right?
Fucking right, eh?
Here we go, bud. 1971 jams. Yep. Stampeders. Sweet City Woman. How about this? Some Canadianity in America.
You hit the post again. Hard to be in a bad mood listening to this jam.
Never. Impossible. It's such a great jam, man. It's fucking awesome.
We might as well let her rip.
What?
There it is.
Oh, the chorus.
It's only one verse into the chorus.
It's a long chorus.
Sweet. It's a great jam. What else is going on in 1971, Bot?
I like songs that just kind of sneak into the chorus like that.
Boom, like shibom, boom, boom, shibom.
And the big breakup here. Is this French? That was French.
Was it?
Oh, I just picture it. Bon, c'est bon.
Richard Nixon was president in 1971.
Someone was just killing that frickin' banjo in the back there, eh, bud?
Killing it. Bon, ka-kong, 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 ka-kong. Sweet.
How about this one? This is one of the best first albums of all time. Well, this isn't his... I think it might be his first album. Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Every Picture Tells a Story. It might be his second, actually. What a great album, though. It's one of those artists I just don't understand how he could have been such a badass, cool singer, front guy in all these amazing bands and then, like, go south in the 80s so hard.
Well, he started doing the like the oldies,
Yeah.
And he started, like, gunning for movie soundtrack songs.
I think it was kind of... You could kind of sense it in... If You Think I'm Sexy. He's like, I can do this pop shit.
Right.
I don't need to be some bar, beer-swilling rock and roller. I can clean up and cut that shit.
Do you know where he lost me?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
He lost me with the bring on some of your old Motown records. We'll put the speakers in the window and we'll go. Remember?
That I'm surprised you weren't gone by Forever Young.
Well, I feel like that. Oh, yeah, well, right. Was that Forever was Young before Jesus that?
Shit. Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, like I said, anything in the 80s, pretty much. That's when things went south.
1971.
When he had a hand at the disco and he tried it.
All in the Family was the biggest show in America in 1971. Dean Martin's show was still on. My Three Sons, Bonanza, and the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. Beverly Hillbillies. You know, Hollywood and television has been braced for the return of old school variety since, I don't know, the early 2000s. And the first thing that happened was a show called Survivor that blew everybody and everything out of the water and melted minds and changed the course. But don't you wish there was an old school variety show on with plate spinners and burping monkeys and stand-up comics?
Burping monkeys, like the Uncle Bobby?
Yeah.
You mean the variety, or the full-on 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock variety gigs?
Like a variety show.
I don't think anyone would watch it. But, I mean, that's what late night has become.
Kind of variety-ish, yeah.
That's definitely what they do now with the skets and the playing the karaoke jams.
Yep, the lip-syncing, what have you. How do you feel about Orlando Bloom and Selena Gomez pounding in Vegas on the same day that Katy Perry tweeted something saying that she wanted to be with him forever? Are you okay?
He's That's a true story?
Yeah.
Selena Gomez and Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, I just want to know that you're okay.
And the Bloomies. That's pretty greasy, right?
What is this?
Huh? Oh, the Doors. Little Riders on the Storm.
I thought it was Sea of Love, the Robert Plant version.
It's 10 years early, bud.
Yeah, I know.
This is the good, the Oxycontin highway jams for people. Traffic.
It's a great jam, too. I would have guessed this was earlier.
Oh. Jimbo's about to face a big death ski soon.
I like how when you put ski on the end of something, it just softens it.
Yeah.
Little death ski.
But I meet the big man tonight. Have a couple too many drinks. Rip a couple pillows.
That's 71, huh?
It's kind of mellow time. There was a lot of acoustic hits this year. Here's one for you. And you just see you with the fam on a vacay.
Chasing each other around the park in slow motion.
You and when you're 5 years old in the back seat, darts it ripping back into the back.
Yeah.
And Johnny Denver.
With my John Denver hair.
Yeah, right? You totally had
to. To the place hair. I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama. John Denver is a good singer. He's another person I would put in the Anne Murray category of sneaky good.
Yeah.
Like everybody kind of rolls their eyes at him, but try singing that. Yeah. You fill up my senses. That's tricky, dude.
And this has like a sneaky 23 million views, so you know the guy's...
Does it? Take Me Home?
Yeah. Another short ending. Flight. Fucking around in airplanes on your own time.
Guys, if you get the chance, don't mess around in airplanes, okay? It's not safe.
No, it is not safe.
Avatar styles. Astar.
How about this? This is a pretty good 71 jam. This is right up your alley.
Automatic Waterworks.
Picture of him singing this on the YouTube, big him crushing a dart. And then there's a picture of him, like, interview with Gordon Lightfoot, like, now, and he looks like he's 1,000 years old from the darts.
This is the song that thrust me into a wormhole. It was that year I was writing on the Junos, and I was watching old episodes, and he did If You Could Read My Mind, I think in 1996, and he was already not a young man.
Yeah.
But I was like, how is the feeling still gone, and he still can't get it back? He's performed this song thousands of times, and it still punches you right in the feelings. It's a great
pretty
song.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid lyrics.
Nickelback threw a shout out to Lightfoot in...
Did he throw it back?
Well, the Krogs dropped something like a paperback novel, right?
Oh, God, they did. They ripped him.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think it was love and tribute.
That's like fucking Darius when he does the hat tip to Bob Dylan on with that
Wagon Wheel?
I don't want to be with you song. isn't it? I'm tangled up in blue.
Oh, right. I like how much vibrato he hits on sing. You don't dance, I don't sing. She had a million bucks and when she died, it came to me.
You could do it like if you opened a door, like in the singing booth, and he's like, hey, and he'd go back an hour later, and he's
dance,
still ripping.
You don't sing. Do you know what song I associate that with? Live, 101, Confidential, and Discreet. Remember they used to show infomercials of bikini-clad women just dying to meet you right now? That
the
was always
guy,
the soundtrack. David Bronstein, the Prince of Love. Hey, there were girls all around. He was that guy. Well, excuse me, I have to follow her. And he's doing that, like, bite the palm of his hand thing. Like, oh,
he's so going around his house full of women. Like,
wearing
whoa, what's your
suit
name?
With big shoulder pads. Guys, it's live, one-on-one, Confidential, and Discreet. And he always did the hand thing, like going from low to high. Discreet.
Yeah. Totally, like, just greasing it up.
You won't dance, I won't sing. I think it's the other way around. I think he won't dance and she won't sing.
Oh, man.
I'm such a baby, yeah, the dolphins make me cry.
No, you gotta cry. I'm such a baby. He's like, ripping it out.
Oh, like, yeah, we used the take where I actually started crying. I'm such a baby, yeah, the dolphins make me cry.
No, you got to scream it. I'm such a baby.
I get all my life from Lucky. I only want to be with you.
Imagine how loud he sings, how loud it is in front of him.
I think everybody thought he was Hootie. But I think Hootie was a professor they had. And he wore thick glasses and he looked
like
an owl.
I'll tell you who Hootie is.
Who's Hootie?
It's the P11.
Hootio.
That's why he's got that girthy voice. I don't want to be with you.
Oh, he's P11, isn't he?
Yeah, no.
No,
no
he's not the one.
The P11,
but
he's
another
P13.
Dude, oh my gosh.
That hangs out in Charleston on the beach.
Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, 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 mama, rock me. He's been really accepted in the country community.
Yeah. Here's a 71 jam that comes right full circle to with what you're doing this last week, Bod.
You're right.
You've got a friend helping out. This is 71 Jam, but this is also, I guess, kind of what James Taylor is doing with Fort Mac.
James Taylor is donating proceeds of both of his concerts in Alberta to the Red Cross, which is just awesome.
Yeah. That's and obviously you've been on the fire with the Air Miles. How's that going?
It was really cool, man.
Can you give us a quick rundown on what you were doing?
Yes. Like everybody, I was watching these horrific images of people driving through tunnels of fire, escaping with children and pets and, you know, not knowing if they were going to make it out. And it's so inconceivable in your mind's eye to watch people that close to Mother Nature. So I thought I can keep watching these images, or I can try to channel the fear and uncertainty that I have into helping in any way I can. And I don't have any direct ties to Fort McMurray, but I'm a husband and father and human being and Canadian. And I think we all felt sick and helpless and hopeless.
It was unbelievable. The fear, like I, you know, you said I cannot imagine those kind of conditions, like not being able to go anywhere and fire closing in on both sides of the road. Like that's just absolute unbelievable fear. It's so terrifying.
So terrifying. And a lot of people have said, you know, in the big picture, it might be good because the town grew too fast and there'll be jobs in rebuilding it, and maybe they can rebuild it in a way that's more efficient and. That's all months down the road. What that doesn't do is address the issue of people whose homes burnt down at the airport with no ID, sleeping for the fourth or fifth night in a row. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what tools do I have available to me? I have access to a pretty decent-sized social media reach, and so I said, if anyone's having trouble, let me know and I'll help make arrangements. And I didn't even have a plan beyond that. And the really cool thing, Jeremy, is that for every help, there was a, how can I help? Mm-hmm. And that to me is really cool. And the people that go to Fort McMurray are wanting to provide for their families. They're people with a good work ethic. They are making sacrifice already being away from home. It's not like they're lazy layabouts. No. So 50% of them anyway started by saying, you have to know how much I hate having to ask for help. So what I did is booked 4 or 5 flights with the points that I had. And then a couple of people that were in a real sticky situation, I bought them tickets and then put the ask out for points. And I had to apply to Aeroplan for a donation pool. And once that was set up with the hashtag get me back from Fort Mac, people donated like crazy. Joel Plaskett donated 200,000 points. Wow. And we quickly had 350,000 points. Like even people were donating like 2,500 points or 8,000 points. But before the pool was set up, there were people in some pretty desperate situations. And I called... like Jerry D, who had said, can let me know if I can do anything. And I was like, there's a woman and her son. They're in Edmonton. They need to get to Deer Lake as soon as possible. Can you handle that? And he's like, yep, I got it. Nice. Ron James did the same. Haley Wickenizer, total bud, Olympic multiple gold medal winner and hockey legend. Yeah. Like instantly, she's like, after the flood in Calgary, we're actually pretty good at this. Let me know what you need. We can mobilize. People that didn't have points would donate cash. People that didn't have cash would say, I don't have much, but I have a car. Can I drive someone to the airport? Can I pick someone up when they get home?
So cool.
And all I asked of people was, when you get home and you get reunited with your family, just send me a picture. And so the pictures have been rolling in. We booked over 35 flights for people that were really stuck. And man, it just hits you right in the heart every time you see one. Because the thing that I've been thinking and saying is, even when you're sick and you're away from home, all you want in the world is to just be home in your own bed surrounded by your peeps. And so your home away from home burns to the ground. Like heard over and over again stories of people who are like, honestly, I used the last money I had in the world to get back out here to go work in the camp and was evacuated before I could even work a day. I have $0.
Unbelievable.
So the nice kind of outcome is that people hopped on really quickly and it was moving and humbling, and obviously this really resonated with people. Fort Mac has carried Canada on its economic back for a long time, and I don't think you could find any place in Canada where somebody's relative hasn't left for Fort Mac to make a living. So, yeah. I mean, just in size, the fire is incomprehensible. You can't even wrap your head around it. Even as I know you have, you see images of it juxtaposed over different cities. It doesn't make sense. 180,000 hectares or whatever it is. But it sounds like everywhere you go, people are donating groceries and drives and gas and help. And Classified's putting on a concert. This pod should come out on Friday night in Halifax. He and David Miles are putting on a concert. All proceeds go to the Red Cross. All proceeds from the sale of their song Work Away, which is about Maritimers going to work in Fort Mac, also going to the Red Cross. Like, there are a lot of people doing big things, and I might have been the catalyst for this particular initiative. But, man, people mm-hmm. just took it and ran with it, and it was awesome.
That's amazing. It's working out and continuing, and that's the thing. I heard a number between like $8 to $10 billion it could cost to get back on their feet.
Imagine.
In Fort Mac. And so, I mean, as much as that is, it's still going to have to continue, and we're going to have to do whatever we can to help them out.
For sure.
Throughout this year, you know what I mean? It's going to be, there's, like you said, I mean, sure, there's some of the energy plants will be back up and running, but when you lose your house, I mean, it changes your life, and it's hard to try, and not to mention businesses and just the actual, well, 10% of a city just gone. That's just a crazy amount of stuff.
It is, and I credit my father-in-law with teaching me one of the great lessons in life, which is sometimes he starts out on a project and he doesn't quite know how it's going to work, or he doesn't know if he can do it, or he doesn't know if it'll come together, but that doesn't stop him from taking it on.
Yeah.
And it was the same with this. I didn't know exactly how I was going to help. I didn't really have a plan, but I just wanted to float it like, hey, can I help in some way? And then people responded by saying, yes, I really need help. And so I asked other people for help. And if anyone in this whole chain had said no, it would have shut down. But people everywhere were like, yes, what can I do? Let me help. Let me hop on. So if that isn't Bodhism, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm.
And great, got to say, great job by the first responders to contain the fire from taking the whole city down.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they did a great job to protect a lot of places. And
people, and seen, in many cases, their own homes were burning as they were fighting it. Imagine that.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I've seen some crazy footage of firefighters doing great jobs and water, the buckets, the way they've been dropping the water continually. I mean, I can't imagine how hard that job must be and how scary it can be. But they did a spectacular job and continue to. And sad to say that this is going to be a pretty dry summer. And I mean, this could continue, or more of these could happen. So,
somebody said months. Like the fire, this fire might burn for months. What? Yeah. So hopefully, we still have some points in the pool. So maybe it'll be for get me back to Fort Mac when folks are ready to get back to work.
Yeah. Solid. Let's take a little break there, bud.
Giddy up.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her hair. She acts like summer and she walks like rain. Reminds me that there's time to change. So tell me, did the wind sweep you off your feet? Did you finally find the chance to dance in all the Monterey? Head back to the Milky Way. So tell me.
Listen, Listen to these lyrics.
He loves that jam.
Who does? Page.
Stephen Page.
Does he?
Well, that's the second time he's rocked it, right? Remember he was doing it on the piano?
Oh my gosh, was he really?
Yeah,
you don't why remember. Do I keep going back to that? Well, that's, I didn't even remember.
That's why I was like, why are you doing it now with different on guitar?
That's so wild. I did not remember. Maybe I was thinking, maybe Alan Frew should do it. Yeah. Listen to this verse.
Okay.
Should I say it or play it?
Do it with Alan Frew.
Okay. Now that she's back from that soul vacation, tracing her way through the constellation, hey, hey. Listen to this line. She checks Mozart while she does Tybo. Reminds me that there's room to grow. Hey, 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 hey.
Tybo, he says that. That's in the lyrics?
Yes, she checks out Mozart while she does Tai Bo. Reminds me that there is room to grow. Hey, 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 hey. What?
What the hell is that? And then he talks about the Frappuccino or something, right?
Yeah.
Skinny latte.
Can you imagine no love, pride, deep fried chicken? Your best friend always stacking up for you. Even when I know you're wrong, can you imagine the first dance, please? Dry romance, 5-hour conversation, and the best soy latte that you've ever had. And me. Tell me, did the wind sweep you off your feet? Did you finally get the chance to dance along to the light of day? Head back toward the Milky Way.
Milky Way.
That it makes soy no latte. Sense. The best soy latte that you've ever had, and me. Tell me, did you fall for a shooting star? One without a permanent scar? Did you miss me while you were looking for yourself out there?
Can you imagine that's like, this is some like super creepy camp counselor yelling the lyrics to the kids. Scottish.
Becky, have a seat. Wear I'm going to play you a tune.
Making the kid wear the hat. Jacob, wear the hat. Right?
Where's your sunscreen? You cannot just walk around with no sunscreen.
No, Jacob's got to wear this stupid moose head while he sings the song.
Aww.
Like one of those, like, props. I told you to wear the hat, Jacob.
Don't Jacob, come up here and hold my sheet music. Okay, it's Alan Frew as a camp counselor in Muskoka.
Yeah.
Hold on, little girl. Show me what he's done to you. Stand up, little girl.
When he's like,
a broken heart, when he's like can't 18. Feel that vibe. When it's true, it's true. Fate will twist the both of you. So come on, baby, come on home. Let me be the one to show you.
He's like, come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
What if it's I'm the one? Ah. I'm the one. I. The Frew.
I'm the one. Ah.
What are you going through?
I said everybody.
Hold on, little Bernie. Don't know what he's done to you. It's Gord's song about Bruce. For Bernie. Hold on, little Bernie. Tell me what Bruce did to you. Stand up, little Bernie. A broken heart can't take that bad. When it's true, it's true. Fate will twist the both of you. So come on, Bernie. Come on over. Let me be the one to show. I'm the one.
How about, can you do the The Milli Vanilli jam.
You requested Girl You Know It's True.
No, not Girl You Know It's True.
Which one?
Girl, I'm gonna miss you.
Oh, Girl, I'm gonna miss you.
The ballad.
Like, it's a tragedy, the man to say, yes. The dream is over, and the little one forget the day we met, burning gonna miss you.
It's about, because it's either me or Bruce, he gave him that thing, but then he said he's got to stay with Bruce, and then he's like, he's done then, he sings that.
There it is. It's an E. It's a tragedy, but meant to say the dream is over. And I never will forget the day we met. Burn, I'm gonna miss you.
Oh, man.
Raspberry burning. The kind you'd find in a second-hand store. Raspberry Bernie. When it was warm, Bernie wasn't wearing much more. Are Gord and Bernie secretly in love?
No, Gord loves Bernie.
Gord loves Bernie. Bernie endures Gord.
Yes.
Folks have sent us some great pictures of Gord and Bernie.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some really good ones. And it looks like they still love each other.
Is Bernie on the darts?
I don't know. How could you not be in those days?
Like, people of a certain age, it's a safe assumption that they were on the darts, like, in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to say...
It's like back then they're like, well, we all smoked. We didn't know it was bad for us. That was always the line.
Right.
I remember there's actual campaigns of people saying cigarettes are good for you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay, scariest. I pulled up on YouTube, I pulled up famous Canadians. Michael J. Fox.
Darts.
Well documented. Darts.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Darts.
Yeah, I'd say occasional dart. Seth Rogen.
I don't know. I think he's just big blunts. Isn't that his thing?
Yeah, marijuana cigarettes for sure. Trebek?
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. I think no.
I think he's on the darts.
No way! That's even better. That's classic.
I think he's on Parliament's, the one with the hollow filters.
Oh, my God.
That people used to take a bump back in the day.
Oh my
Martin
God.
Short?
Probably back in the day in the writer's room.
But not now.
But not now?
Howie Mandel.
Do you know Martin Short? You've seen him around.
I don't know.
Never seen him hacking darts, so.
No. And he's such a show tunes guy, I don't see him hacking darts.
Yeah. Who else?
Howie Mandel.
No way. He's a germaphobe, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a no. Bublé.
I don't know. I could see him being like, he can't sing if he's on the darts, but maybe if he's banged up.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Darts.
I say like. Darts too. Sneaky darts. The guy who played Ed.
Ed.
Tom.
Oh, that show Ed?
Yeah. I like that show Ed.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah, I think he's on the darts.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson.
I don't think so.
I mean,
back in the day, maybe, yeah, for sure.
I think back in the day.
When Tommy Lee's like, you have to.
Yeah. Margaret Atwood.
Back in the day, for sure. Probably.
But not anymore.
Maybe now, I don't know, Midnight Darts.
I want to believe she's on the Midnight Darts. Rex Murphy.
Oh, darts.
Darts. Adam McGoyan. Famed Canadian director.
Darts.
I'm going to say no darts.
Okay.
Are the Property Brothers on the darts?
I don't think so. The Property Brothers.
I mean, the way their brand works, one of them is fun and the other one isn't. Fun one's probably on the darts.
Paula France, E-Darts.
Really? Well, I guess we could add that as a category. Yeah,
that's right, for sure.
Who vapes? Next week we'll play Planet of the Vapes and try to figure out which famous Canadians are on the darts. You wanted to do an American's version of On the Darts.
Yeah, like actors and actresses, because they're all on the darts.
Okay, Bon Jovi.
Darts.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Seems like it, but I don't doubt it.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Barack Obama was on the darts.
Yeah, he's still probably on the sneaky darts.
No, he's on the nicotine gum.
Oh, yeah?
Heard him talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, and then out on the balcony at the White House.
Was Martin Luther King on the darts?
Probably. John Coltrane styles.
Why do you guess probably for MLK?
Because everybody was in the 60s.
All right. Is Selena Gomez on the darts?
Probably, yeah. I could see that.
She crushes like 3 menthol darts a day.
Oh, my God.
Steve Tyler.
Oh, heavy darts.
Oh, here's a good one. Married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, Michael...
Douglas? What's his name?
Yeah, Michael Douglas.
Definitely. Well, he's darts. Almost croaked from the darts, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's still crushing darts.
And he looks like he's crushing darts.
Well, he's like the classic, like all those superstar types, like the Jolie's darts, Brad Pitt heavy darts.
Really?
Yeah. DiCaprio heavy darts.
No.
Yeah.
Are you guessing darts. That or you know that?
No, I've seen them all ripping darts.
You've seen Brad Pitt ripping darts?
All the time, yeah.
Where?
Like whenever he's outside and not on set, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not really photographed on the darts very much.
Oh, yeah. Look it up. Do a quick Google search and you'll see. It's like every time he's out.
So all I search is Brad Pitt darts.
Do it.
Is Oprah on the darts?
I don't think so.
Wouldn't you like she's on sneaky darts?
Yeah. A cool after midnight.
But Gail's on the darts.
Who?
Oprah's best friend.
Oh, Gail. Rihanna, darts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of pictures of Brad Pitt on the darts.
Oh, tons, man.
I just wish you could search on the darts. Somebody has to start a website called On the Darts.
I know. Justin Timberlake, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. And same with, well, Beale might have when she was trying to shake the Seventh Heaven rap.
Yeah, maybe. And it seems like all the actresses do.
Crazy. Did you see someone sent us a map of percentage on the darts? None of it's like 59% darts.
Wait, none of it?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I have to assume that it's like people over, like adults. That doesn't include
Northern Alberta was like high 30s on the darts.
I'm sure. Hey, did you fill out a long form census?
Not yet. Am I going to go to jail?
Well, I think the deadline was yesterday.
No. I don't even see it. I don't even know if I got it yet.
I think you can do it online.
Carol did ours already online.
We got a hard copy.
And you did it?
And then Carol did it last night online.
You bastard. So I'm going to jail right now?
Well, the weird thing is, it's like it's like complicated questions for self-employed people. Yeah. Like, are you self-employed or employed by yourself? Well,
see, that's going to be fun for me.
Yeah. Does your company pay you or do you accept money from your company? Like, I don't understand.
It just sounds like you're up against a wall and they're frisking you.
Yeah. There's no correct answer. And
when
then things like
money, cash money in your wallet. Where did it come from?
Or in your home? Where
what
would
you
it
like
be?
To buy? Where? Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, like, can this information be used against you? Like, if you say your home is worth a certain amount, then
well, anytime they say we're gonna kick this back up again, and then like not really say that once they have the information, they can do whatever they want with it. And they can throw all the loopholes in the world around it to make it seem like they're allowed to.
All the Joffrey loopholes. But what do you, like, are you supposed to err on the side of less and smaller?
I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell's going on. I haven't seen it yet. You're the one who went through it.
I don't understand why you're angry.
I'm scared now. Now I don't know what to do.
You don't have to be scared. I think you just
have to say if you fell down the stairs and can't remember stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, I think you should do it.
I don't feel good. I don't feel, like, put it, like, write it on, like, the first thing. I don't feel so good.
I think mostly it just has to do with, like, what's the population of Canada and how many people live in a household and how many kids people have.
Now it's a trivia game.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of fun. Let's take a break on TNT 71. We'll be back to wrap her up. What do you say?
Oh, yeah.
What did Justin with the expert?
Now the story's played out like this, just like a paperback novel. I'm telling you, Bernie, I use the word paperback first. They're using the word paperback to pay tribute to me. We should sue them. We should sue the Nickelbacks.
No, look, Gorda, these kids, I don't know, man. They're not that popular. People seem to not like them, and I just think it's probably a better idea. Just stick with the hits, like maybe a Bieber track or something like that. People like that kid.
Do you ever watch Cribs?
Yeah.
I've seen Chad Kroeger on Cribs. He has 13 Ferraris. I think he has money to pay us back. Listen again.
Not now saying he has a lot of toys.
Played out like this, just like a paperback novel. Paperback novel, Bernie. It's just like I said paperback in If You Could Read My Mind. Do you remember?
I certainly do. I remember writing it in the SoCan checks.
And I was like, Bernie, 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 oh, like Bernie, 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 oh.
See, now that's got a nice ring to it, Gord. Do you mind if I have another pan and another square?
Good chatting, bot.
Good chatting, bot.
Ha, ha, ha.